Good morning, everyone. John Hockenberry here with Amy Holmes. They're bracing for an emotional arrival in Los Angeles. The two journalists released by Bill Clinton from captivity in North Korea after Bill Clinton's brief trip to Pyongyang. They're expected to land sometime within possibly the hour, but they'll certainly be here this morning. Bill Clinton's brief trip to Pyongyang has secured the freedom of two American journalists, Lisa Ling and Yuna Lee. They were imprisoned in North Korea for so-called grave crimes. Professor Charles Armstrong, North Korea specialist and director of the Center for Korean Research at Columbia University, is still with us. Professor, right at the top, I was thinking about it. I mean, former presidents, this is quite a moment for former presidents. What other problem would you deploy a former president for? I'm thinking off the top of my head.
Well, this isn't the first time a former president has stepped in to diffuse a crisis with North Korea. Jimmy Carter in 1994 visited Pyongyang at a moment of very serious tension over North Korea's nuclear program. The U.S., at that time Clinton was president, was on the verge of a possible military strike against North Korea's nuclear facilities. Carter met with Kim Il-sung, Kim Jong-il's father, and began the foundations for working out a deal to freeze North Korea's nuclear program. So it seems very appropriate that now that Obama is president, Clinton himself goes to Pyongyang and works out this deal to release the journalists with Kim Jong-il.
Well, it's almost as though in the job description of former presidents, you have to do something in North Korea. You call in with your suggestion, by the way, 877-8MYTAKE or MyTAKE at thetakeaway.org. If you have a suggestion for a problem for a former president, back to North Korea, Professor Armstrong. I'm just wondering if there's any possibility that this initiative, that this face-to-face meeting between Bill Clinton and Kim Jong-il, something he really wanted to do in the waning hours of his administration back in 2000, if there's any part of this that's beyond simply two journalists that gets into the nuclear realm. I mean, Bill Clinton isn't really talking about it. The White House is saying this is a private meeting. How do you get beyond two journalists?
Officially, the Obama administration is saying this is only about the two journalists. Bill Clinton went as a private citizen. I don't think anybody believes that. In technical fact, this may be the case, but Kim Jong-un met with Bill Clinton. There can be no doubt they talked about a wide range of issues, and Clinton has a lot of experience dealing with North Korea's nuclear development. So this could be an opening. We're all hoping that this could be a way to bring North Korea back to the negotiating table and address these other issues of concern with the U.S., including its missile proliferation and nuclear weapons program.
Professor Armstrong, this is Amy here. Can you explain how this creates an opening? Does this mean Kim Jong-il wants to talk to Bill Clinton?
Yes, it does. You know, in the past, there have been numerous ways to try to approach North Korea through coercion, pressure, multilateral talks. But at the end of the day, the only thing that seems to really work is bilateral face-to-face discussions with the top leader in North Korea and very high-ranking officials on the U.S. side. This is what froze the nuclear program in 1994. And this could be the way we solve the problems we've been facing for the last several months with North Korea today. Clinton is a known quantity to North Korea. He's someone who was on the verge at the end of his presidency, as was mentioned, to possibly striking a deal that could have ended North Korea's missile program. If he had gone at the end of his term in 2000, we might not even be in the crisis we face today.
Right. Instead, Madeleine Albright, the Secretary of State, was the one who sat across from Kim Jong-il, and nothing really productive happened there. Many have said that the North Koreans have grown very skilled at the kind of quid pro quo bargaining chip diplomacy that this is possibly another example of. But I'm wondering if, before we go, you could give an assessment. Who needs who more? Does Kim Jong-il need Bill Clinton or someone like him more than Obama needs an envoy like Bill Clinton in North Korea?
Kim Jong-il certainly needs someone like Bill Clinton to save face for North Korea in the midst of this crisis. To the extent that we want to solve the very real issues that we're facing with North Korea, Obama needed to send someone with the stature of Bill Clinton. It's at that level that we can really solve problems with North Korea.
All right, Professor Charles Armstrong, North Korea specialist and director of the Center for Korean Research at Columbia University. Like a lot of analysts, hoping for an opening there between the U.S. and North Korea.
Well, continuing on the North Korea story, listen to the father of Laura Ling on the role of the Clintons in his daughter's release.
I think Bill Clinton played a large role in it. Well, Mrs. Clinton did too, and Bill Clinton is the logical person to go over.
So, John, this week seems to have been the Bill and Hillary diplomatic show, with Hillary in Africa and Bill going to North Korea. We have Michael Crowley, senior editor of The New Republic, on the line. Michael, is this genius on Obama's part to bring the Clintons in close?
Or just good Clinton luck?
I think it might be a little bit. I mean, you know, I think that you look back at the initial decision to put Hillary in the cabinet, and at the time, I think the rationale was probably keep your friends close and your enemies closer, right? And I think that was probably part of his thinking. But at this point, I don't think the Clintons really look like enemies. I'm surprised at how well it has gone, and a missing piece in the relationship.
Well, Michael, we're losing you there. Are you on a cell phone?
Yeah, sounds like he might be totally going through a bad spot there.
But it sounds like we're having bad cell phone luck or telephone luck. But
telephone
the Clintons
luck.
Do have, traditionally have very, very good luck. So it could actually be both. I mean, it could be Obama's genius taking credit for the fact that both of these diplomats are in play and seem to have such power. But it's also the case that, you know, the Clintons just – things work out well for
things
them.
Work out for them, and we're seeing that Hillary, she is, you know, playing the good foot soldier for Barack Obama. That during the campaign she was more hawkish; those mm-hmm. were her instincts. But now she is very much carrying the message of the Obama administration.
Well, let's talk about the diplomatic implications of that. I said Clintonplomacy a moment ago, which is a term that's probably unlikely to ever be repeated again.
No, we're coining it here.
We're rejoined by Professor Charles Armstrong, North Korea specialist and director of the Center for Korean Research at Columbia University. Does it warp the traditional channels of diplomacy in the United States to have an envoy play such a senior role in Pyongyang, Professor?
Well, it depends on the level of the crisis. And in this case, it does seem appropriate that former president step in and try to defuse the situation. This is, as I said, what Carter did. This is what Clinton is doing. Clinton was probably the best man to send for this. There have been discussions of sending other people. Al Gore, former Energy Secretary, and New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson. But clearly the North Koreans preferred Bill, and that's who they got, and that got the journalist released within a day.
But doesn't this create problems? I mean, we had an obligation, of course, to negotiate their release, and we're all so relieved that they're coming back home to Los Angeles. But isn't this then sort of that, you know, Kim Jong-il says jump, and we say how high?
Well, we have to do what works, and the release of the journalists was clearly something that had been already negotiated in advance by the Obama administration, and Clinton went there to send the message and to bring the women home. North Korea is very sensitive about being shown respect. Now, we may not have a lot of respect in the outside world for Kim Jong-il and the North Korean state, But he is in charge of the country, and he has to be treated as a head of state.
Well, let's talk about that respect for a moment. I mean, in a very cynical way, while those journalists were being held, we didn't see a lot of saber rattling on the part of Pyongyang. Now that no longer those chips are available to the North Koreans, I wonder if we go back to missile tests and, you know, saber rattling to the Japanese as a way of getting attention and maintaining this respect that you talk about, Professor.
Well, hopefully not. It might be the opposite. It might be that with the release of the journalists and with the visit of Bill Clinton, North Korea may feel they're in a position to start negotiating on the nuclear issue and other matters of concern. In other words, that they have the highly visible emissary that they had wanted, and that they feel like they can get back to the negotiating table.
Well, as a takeaway then, someone who's been a long observer of these rituals, what's something to watch for that suggests, in fact, we may be heading towards that opening in the next few weeks?
Well, we'll have to see what North Korea says, what it communicates in its official media and through its channels of diplomacy here in the United States, particularly at the United Nations. It's already hinted that it can get back to negotiations over denuclearization, and we may be getting to the point where there will be face-to-face public talks between senior diplomats in the U.S. and North Korea.
Well, it's very, very interesting. Professor Charles Armstrong, North Korea specialist, director of the Center for Korean Research at Columbia University, sort of dicing and slicing the implications for the future U.S.-North Korea relationship from the Bill Clinton-obtained release of the two detained journalists.
It becomes such a chess match, doesn't it?
Yeah, but there are only two pieces on the board. That's the interesting thing.
Bill Clinton and Kim Jong-il.
Yeah.
Right.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.